In October 2019, we went with a group of young lesbian, bisexual and pansexual women on a residential weekend to the Lake District. The young women came from our Proud Trust groups across Greater Manchester and Cheshire, and we were also joined by young women from Merseyside. They ranged in age from 15 to 24. The purpose of the weekend was to discuss young women's experiences of the spaces we provide and the wider issue of women-only spaces. Over the course of the weekend, the young women also discussed other issues which were important to them. These recordings capture some of these discussions. A group of young women discussing their views of the benefits of women-only spaces.
Oh, hi, I'm Erin.
And I'm Iris.
And I'm Tira. Mm-hmm.
And together, I suppose, we're Bratha Hey Hey Gays, because we've been in our room together.
Hey Hey Gays!
Bratha Hey Hey! Yeah, we had a typo became a group joke, so.
Yeah. Makes more sense than breakfast.
Yeah, meme makes no sense.
I'm sure it's a good meme.
And we have been talking about the value of women-only spaces, because we came away on this residential as a women's only space, and it's amazing the difference we already feel and the different sort of discussions we've been coming up with
definitely.
Compared to the youth groups that we normally meet in.
Oh.
So, I know you were saying...
Very chill.
Yeah, how different do you feel here than in a mixed group?
It feels just sort of like more relaxed, just like immediately, like when you walk into a space where it's only other women, there's this kind of like... moment where you know you can let your guard down because you know that there will be common ground with a lot of your experiences.
It was something you were saying about that yesterday. I wrote this morning when we were making the postcards, and on the back we'd been asked to give a feedback about how it had been, and it's like an instant affinity. Yeah. Instant affinity and let your guard down, just because there's a shared perspective. There's a moment where you don't feel you've got to pretend, and we've probably all just been slobbing around with no bras, half in our pyjamas, rolling around on the floor. But everyone still takes you seriously. You're allowed to be an individual.
Yeah.
When there's only women there.
It feels you're being judged less, even though that's not always the case. But I think it is less of the case in a women's only space because you've not got that big thing of, oh, I'm going to get harassed in a corner off some random guy.
Yeah. Yeah, if women do judge, and it's probably a different bits of internal misogyny and sexism, but quite often you would keep the judgment to yourself. And then when you're, it's like learning by a good example. The friendlier and more respectful everyone around you is, the more you start to question the judgment that popped up in your head. And you start thinking, it's like the first thought is what you've been programmed and like to think, whereas the second thought is how you choose to become, what you want to act like. And so because of society, often the first thought is, oh, that's too short, oh, why is she doing that, oh, what? But the second thought is, well, no one else has said anything and she seems happy. I don't want to be the person to make someone ashamed of themselves. And then the whole group just
I think that like there's less of this pressure, I sort of feel, in most spaces to like be pretty and like that sort of perfect manufactured put together, because everybody here knows what a woman actually looks like, like underneath all of that.
Yeah. And it's like over the last few days we've been saying how if you're in a space that is often male dominated or there is a minority of women, like each man is acting as an individual, but a woman, and it's the same with any minority, they're out being the best spokesperson and the best front for that, to give the, when there is no other group, when in this space the woman is the majority, every woman can become more of an individual, and they know they're not letting the side down, there's no one they're trying to speak out for. And so quite a few women are sort of just discovering what it means to be themselves in this sort of space, which you don't get enough places to do in public.
Yeah, I think.
Definitely. Yeah. So it's been really nice, just out in the wild, going kayaking, falling into the view in the most literal sense. We've had a quarter of the group fall into the lake. We have quite literally fallen into the view.
Been the first one.
First one. There you go. You're a trendsetter.
Oh, yeah. Falling into lakes because I'm trying to catch ducks.
Ah.
Not real ducks.
Not real ducks?
No, they were plastic.
Oh, is that when you fell?
Yeah, yeah, I fell.
Our team did well on that. But yeah.
Yeah, Erin, like, what do you think about specifically, like, LGBT women's only?
Well, I think they deliver a lot of... They're very different to other spaces, because, like, if there's a discussion in just a general LGBT space, it's very different to when there's a discussion in a women's LGBT space.
Mm. You were saying about, yeah, like, at the gym, there were, like, it was often dominated by, like, the conversation was often, yeah, dominated by gay cis men.
Pretty much, like, yeah.
I think that, like, spaces like this, you get a lot of, like, role models, sort of. Like, you meet other people who are existing in the way you want to, and that's very, very reassuring to see, I think. Like, Iris is the coolest person ever, and all of the leaders are the coolest people ever, yes, and I probably wouldn't have got to meet them if I was only in, like, general LGBT spaces, because I think a lot of the focus can be on sort of cis gay guys, just because that's where we are societally, because, like, you get Drag Race and Queer Eye and stuff like that, but you have no mainstream cultural equivalent for gay women, and I think women's only spaces sort of fill that gap for me, I guess.
Yeah, there's a representation, and people are always, they're like angry at stereotypes and cliches, but you know you've got enough mainstream representation when there can become stereotypes, yeah, and cliches, and it's like, to have, you've got the privilege to be annoyed at having so much representation that you don't like some of it, whereas we're all still asking for more representation, like,
yeah, like with stuff like Queer Eye, it's like people will be annoyed that people think all gay men are like that, but at least they think gay men are, you know?
Yeah. Whereas with a woman, you often just, like, there is a short-haired butch lesbian, and then there's others out there, and then suddenly you come into a space like this and you see quite a lot of long-haired bi girls that you go, they look like everyone else on the, yeah, street. We're hidden.
It's, yeah, where the phrase, you don't look like a lesbian, lands.
Yeah. You don't look like a... Are you sure? I don't know, where is...
Yeah, I think, like, spaces like this, it's kind of a catch-22, because on the one hand, having a space specifically targeted at a single group can get kind of exclusionary.
Mm.
But, like, on the other hand, I think it's something really, really valuable. If, yeah. And it maybe shouldn't be your only interaction with the LGBT community, but it definitely should be part of it, because there's this safety here that you don't get in a lot of other places.
Yeah. It was something you were saying yesterday, I found, really, that I'd never heard, the curb cut effect.
Yeah. The curb cut effect. Because the curb cut effect is something that they saw in America when they started putting, like, indentations in curbs between the pavement and the road. And they were designed specifically with wheelchair users in mind, but they're really useful for anybody on a bike or a skateboard or rollerblades or pushing a buggy or using a shopping trolley. So, like, if you create this sort of specifically accessible thing, like, a women's only space is really specifically beneficial for people who can't be around men for various reasons of trauma or stuff like that, but it's also useful to everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, it's accessible for everyone.
So we were saying it was, like, a lot of women, they don't need a woman, but it would be quite nice. And so, yeah, it's, you make something for a minority, and for them, it is a lifeline, and it is so valuable, and they need it. But it is also beneficial for a much wider majority. And it's just, you can't undermine that effect. Like,
yeah.
I'd never heard of it as a curb cut, but that's a perfect analogy to help explain. Like, yeah.
So in terms of inclusion, to make change for the positive for somebody, we'll still make the positive for everybody else.
Yeah. It's the same as, like, climate change and everything. It was that, like, okay, climate skeptics, you're right. What if the world isn't in any danger and we go and create a better and cleaner and more nice world for
no reason? How awful! Like, the worst possible outcome from creating more women's spaces is that, like, there's a nicer environment for people that didn't quite need it, but isn't it nicer just to have a more enjoyable atmosphere anyway?
We hope you enjoyed listening and that you got an insight into the experiences and views of the women who took part. We'd like to thank the Young Women's Health Project in partnership with the Proud Trust and our funders, the National Lottery Community Fund and the Tampon Tax Fund from the Government Office of Civil Society. And thanks to Angel at Virgin Money for helping us with recording and editing. Please check out the other recordings in this series.